Welcome, everybody. We invite you to sit back and relax. Kick off your shoes and listen to some great sales stories with that pilgrim on the 405, Will Crist, as he wanders the world in search of the latest techniques and technologies that will let you blaze new trails in today's new world of sales. It all starts right now with your personal pioneer, Will Crist.
Welcome to Pilgrim Talks. The past couple of weeks, I've noticed a general level of optimism has increased. Maybe this is a function of the companies I'm spending time with, or maybe it's just the nature of where we are in the business cycle. The people I've been speaking with are beginning to look for answers. They're asking more questions about how they can position themselves for growth in this economy. They want to know what the rules are and how they've changed. We all know the answer to that question. It's the same answer that's always been true. Those people who take the risks into the unknown discover what works and what doesn't. Others who notice the path the risk takers create will report these ventures and articulate the new rules for the new economy. Orange County has plenty of entrepreneurial risk takers. I've been talking to these risk takers in the software industry for the past couple of months, and these are people who are leading their companies with a radical customer-centric approach. The products and services they provide they're more often than not the result of a non-proprietary design. They don't seek to lock their customers into their solutions by proprietary file formats and closed-end software solutions. They create loyalty by building trust with the customer from the very first conversation. They bring their best efforts to bear on the specific problems the customer brings to them. They even sit around their customer strategy tables because their first loyalty is solving the present problems their customers have while articulating what they see in the future that will impact the customer's businesses. Finally, they are successful because they're always finding new ways to leverage the abilities of others. They look for the best of breed and they partner with them. These successful early adopters to the new economy are making their mark on businesses in Orange County, north and south. These people are quick to find those who are skilled in providing goods and services that support their best efforts. They're not intent on building an empire to gratify their egos. They're looking for the least expensive, the least resource-intensive way to help their customers thrive. These are the companies Orange County executives look to for models in the new economy. Now, one of the quiet companies that successfully made it through the difficulties of the recent marketplace has been very near the epicenter of the financial crisis. Providing software for the mutual funds industry, Envision Financial Systems has combined their customer-centric model of software development with a strong loyalty to their employees to create a dynamic company that often has seen annual growth of up to 30%. Now, you probably don't even know where Envision Financial is. In the center of Orange, Irvine, Envision was founded by Satnam Gambhir and Tim Kahn in 1994, and that what they wanted to do was to address the need for a shareholder accounting system in the mutual funds industry. And Envision over the years has grown its business by partnering with firms and listening to their needs and delivering a tailored solution. Now, this is a wonderful American success story. Satnam and Tim grew this company from meetings in parks to its North American headquarters in Irvine. They're now managing over 130 employees and growing. Envision has built a successful business by challenging the status quo in the mutual funds market. So today we're going to interview Satnam Gambhir, the co-founder, chief executive officer, and chief design officer of Envision. He's responsible for determining the strategic direction of the company's products. When I spoke with him, one of the very interesting things was that they spent the last year, which was a down economy for everybody, but they chose to spend it in strategic planning so that they could thrive in the coming 3 years. I want to introduce you, if you haven't had the privilege of meeting, I want to introduce you to Satnam Gambhir. Satnam, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, Will.
Welcome. Tell us bit more about this beginning a company in a park and growing it to 130 employees.
Right. Tim and I, of course, both come from an engineering background. And, going back a little further, I had just finished my master's in engineering and I was working in Silicon Valley. And a year into it is when I recognized that I didn't want to be working for big companies and I wanted to do something on my own. So I went ahead, got MBA from UC Berkeley, graduated, finished in 87, moved to Orange County. And that's where I met Tim Kahn, who happened to be, again, the chief design officer for another software company that was focused on the real-time quotation system. So we both started meeting and talking about what kind of company we could start. And I think through discussions, which were for about a year, we formed Envision. And the way we started was we started with two products in mind. One was the mutual fund shareholder accounting system, which I had developed for the company I was working for, and we bought it from the company under a royalty agreement. And then there was a second product which was that we were going to do, which was the real-time quotation system, which we ended up actually not canceling the project because we saw that that the market landscape was going to change. So we just focused on this. And starting in October of 94, Tim and I spent a couple of years taking this in-house product to making it a commercial product. And then starting with 1997, where we had, in the first year, we got about six clients and about $250,000 in revenues. We've then grown the company slowly over the years, where, as Will, you mentioned, we have about 130 employees between our three offices.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, I think it would be really interesting to tell us a little bit how you see your relationship with your customers. What's the corporate philosophy that that governs Envision?
Right. One of the, again, I think in our market space that we are in, we are dealing with very established legacy players. And what one of the strategic advantages we want to bring and a unique selling proposition we want to bring was being able to work closely with our customers and delivering solutions, flexible open solutions that met their needs. So we basically are very focused on delivering open solution. We are very focused on delivering solutions that are configurable and extendable. So we not only are talking, when we are talking to clients and understanding the challenges they are facing, we are not only looking at their current challenges, but extrapolating and trying to look at anticipating what kind of challenges they may face going forward. And we design solutions that solve not only problems they have today, but problems that they may run into later that we can anticipate and configure. So one of our strengths has been taking complex challenges that our clients are facing, which the legacy players would have a hard time because they have big mainframe systems and they really can't easily meet those challenges. Taking those and not only delivering them in a shorter time frame, but at much lower cost to these clients.
So being nimble and being responsive to client needs, even helping clients determine what their needs are based upon the future and the economy. Those
right,
are things
because
that you bring
it's
to
a
the
very
table.
Consultative relationship. We get called into when a mutual fund company is looking to launch a product. We may get called into and they may have some thought on how they want to put some product aspects into it. But then we come in, and because of our extensive knowledge of the industry, of the software technology and what can be done, we work with them and try to design solutions that are not only address what their current needs are, but what and anticipate what kind of flexibility we need to put into, so we don't have to re-come and reprogram or change what we have done later.
That's I've been seeing that in a variety of companies, that what they are bringing to their customers is not only their software or their hardware, but they're also bringing their expertise, and that allows them to sit at the strategy table rather than to sit at the in the line of other vendors. What have you done? What do your people do when they approach a company to build that trust from the very beginning?
Right. I think what we have seen is that because we have the knowledge and the expertise, when we go into a meeting and our clients are starting to explain their problems, they see how quickly we can zoom in on their problem and having a clear understanding of their problem and then proposing solutions to their problem. So they clearly can recognize that we have the experience and knowledge to deal with what the problem they have.
What's the role of questions when you're sitting around that strategy table?
Right. Again, I think very often what you find is that your client may have a certain kind of thought process and track, and they may be just focusing on it on a problem very narrowly. So what you're trying to do is with questions, and again, these come from understanding the big picture and having the experience, you're trying to make sure you fully understand what is at stake, how this particular problem relates to everything else that goes on in the industry, in the company, and then designing a solution that not only, of course, functionally solves the problem, but also being a technology company, we are looking to see how we can leverage the technology and have the company additional advantages from the technology. So we're looking at from a business functionality perspective, but also from a technology perspective.
And that's what allows you to sit at that strategy table. That's impressive. That's not...
Well, one other thing that, again, it's for companies that are product companies, I think when we were looking to expand our service offerings, and one of the kind of discussions internally is maybe because of our background in building software, we could get into consulting. But you understand consulting is a very crowded market. And so instead, I think our approach to this, the approach we came out with was said, why don't we go to clients and prospective clients, and instead of just trying to do regular IT consulting where you have competition from all the US players and the offshore players, we're really going with the approach that being a product company, we know how to design products, going to clients and asking them, what are the current challenges that they are facing, and then which of those challenges could be generally faced by the industry, and then instead of having them spend the money on building solutions themselves, we could collaborate and partner with them and build a solution that not only they can use, but that can become a product that has industry-wide acceptance, and that way it reduces the cost and exposure for the company that is looking to solve the problem. And for us, again, it expands the portfolio of products we have, so it's a win-win for both us and our clients.
And it's an interesting concept, because what I'm seeing is you have a company that's going to work with you to provide you with market research based upon what they're seeing that their needs are in the marketplace. Number two, you function as the research and development arm for their company. And number three, they get to do the beta test for you.
That's... Exactly. And again, I think products cannot be created in vacuum. I think the products are best created, useful products are created when there is collaboration between the users that are going to use it and the product engineering folks. So I think it's a win-win for us and the client.
Yeah, that what that suggests to me is that a mutual fund company could pretend that they could recruit, hire, manage, and maintain an R&D division to produce products for them, or they could partner with somebody like you who has the best of breed in terms of development. And so, in effect, exactly. You're both leveraging the expertise of others.
Exactly, exactly. It's a collaborative effort.
Well, one of the things I was fascinated with was your comment about how you had maximized the value of the time in the past 18 months, which you told me was not your most productive years in terms of growth, of annual growth. So tell me a little bit how you spent that 18 months in strategic planning.
Right. I think everybody is aware that around the end of 2008, of course, there was the doom and gloom kind of environment. Everybody was very anxious, not knowing where the global economy was headed. And again, to prepare for that, we kind of, like all other companies, looked at where we had discretionary expenses. And we tightened our belt and cut those. One of the things we didn't do was, and we were very focused on, was having any kind of massive layoffs of employees. So we were very focused. Being a product company and being a company in a complex domain, employees are our biggest assets. So we were very focused in looking at having cuts and kind of anticipating our revenues and having our expenses kind of in line with what our revenues would be, but kind of keeping, making sure that to the extent we could, make sure that we didn't lose our experienced, productive employees. So that was our focus. I think towards the end of first quarter of 2009, we saw that the consultative projects that we do for our clients had trickled to zero, and that we had about 25 to 30% excess resources. So we did two things. One, of course, we identified some internal projects that we could do that would improve our productivity, our efficiency, improve the product aspects of the feature. And so we got our resources that we had busy with that. In addition, what we did was we, towards the summer of 2009, we basically did something we had not done before, which is called in the executives across our offices to California, and we spent a week doing strategic planning. Basically, our thought was that we felt that the economy would move. By that time, we already were seeing signs that the economy was moving in a positive direction. So we basically said, let's use this time to come up with a strategic plan for the next 3 years. So we basically, we sat down, we looked at our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, and did an analysis on that, looked at where, looking at our strengths, what are the new products and services that we could introduce. So we basically, by the after this 1 week summit, we probably took another 3-4 months to basically define our strategic goals for the next 3 years. We defined about 50 strategic initiatives in different areas of the company. And at the beginning of the year, we basically rolled out the strategic plan and the strategic initiatives. And so what the benefit I see is if we are able to execute these 50 strategic initiatives that we have laid out, it will be 50 more reasons why we'll be even more successful in the coming years. So in coming up with these strategic initiatives, we basically set our revenue goals, which was to double our revenues in the next 3 years. We set good profitability goals, and then we set goals on improving productivity, improving efficiency, and there is a lot of emphasis on training our employees in the product, training our employees in the domain, training our employees in leadership and managerial skills, because we feel, I think, because that will in turn help us produce better quality products and services. So basically, through the strategic planning, I think our employees have a clear vision of where we are headed the next 3 years. In addition, what we did was we used to have a kind of for performance review of employees, we would have a standard form that we used to use for all employees. We came up with a performance management system which was using the concept of balanced scorecards, and that tied the performance parameters with the strategic initiatives and goals that we had set. So now every employee is aware of our strategic goals or initiatives and knows how he is or she is contributing to those. We think we are very actually excited about this whole development and the strategic planning and the re-engineering of the revamping of this performance management system, because we think that at the end of it, all that would mean is we would have, of course, strong growth and profitability. We would we are looking to deliver better quality products and services, and we are looking to have an enriching and even more rewarding environment for our employees. So I see us progressing through the strategic planning in all the areas.
Did you notice a difference in the morale, the ability, the commitment from your employees as you begin to use this new performance and management system?
I think the feedback I'm getting is that employees are much more excited about this, much more energy. They feel that this is much more fair, and they know exactly how they can contribute towards the growth of the company and the growth of their careers. So I see a big visible change in the whole process by, of course, coming up with the strategic plan, defining the initiatives, communicating those to the employees, and then basically taking each of the initiatives and then tying the participation of the employees to each of these initiatives and their performance reviews to them.
Yeah, and I would assume that part of their compensation has something to do with achieving their performance goals.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, that's the kind of commitment to building strong, loyal, capable, competent, self-confident employees that I think would really strengthen any company that took on that kind of management program. What if you had a megaphone, Satnam, and you could speak to other Orange County CEOs, what would you tell them?
I think that, one thing is clear. One, I think we need to focus on our employees and focus on how we can help them grow and in turn meet the goals of the company. So I think I think having a focus on employees, and then the other side is having a focus on customers, treating the customers right, giving them the full attention. I think both of those are key to success.
And have you seen lots of other companies that use those three things as the direction for their company?
Again, I think the more successful companies, I've seen are always focused on their customers and their employees. And of course, I think on the other stakeholders also, but I think the having a customer focus and focusing on employees and building the employees are the two most important aspects, at least from my perspective.
What are there some goals that you have for your company that you'd be willing to share with people?
Right. Again, I mentioned one of them, which is we are looking to double our revenues in the next 3 years. We are looking to increase our operating profit from which is 18% right now to 25% to 30% in the next 3 years. So we are looking to improve productivity and efficiency and other aspects to do that. And then on the software side, of course, we have targets on customer-landed defects, on ensuring that we deliver projects on schedule. So there are goals in those areas. And then we have goals on knowledge and knowledge-based domain training. So we have goals on how we are going to take the employees right from their current knowledge of the product and domain to the next level.
That's impressive. I'm very, very impressed, and I'm looking forward to seeing your progress through the coming year, Satnam. Is there anything else about your company that you'd like to share before we finish today?
The other thing about our company is we've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and through the years more recently since we've been successful, we've had calls from venture capitalists to invest and have into our company, but we've kind of, Tim and I have resisted that because I think we both enjoy what we are doing, and I think if you can have the customer focus and employee focus and deliver products that can bring value, I think that is a good recipe for growth. And I think Tim and I like the aspect that we are in control and not have a VC trying to control what we're doing.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that I had to meet you, and so glad that you took the time to be on the show today, Satnam.
It's my pleasure, Will. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to be meeting interviewing a highly awarded company, CMS Products. Ken Burke is going to be with us, and we'll be right back.
Andrew Smith, a salesperson, is getting ready to walk into the biggest meeting of his life. His sales are way down this year, and so is his confidence. His heart thumps. He can't catch his breath. He should have called Sandler Training first. Sales is a tough business, but Sandler Training uses continual reinforcement with ongoing training and individual coaching. You won't fail because we won't let you. Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement.
And now back to the Pilgrim on the 405, Will Crist.
Thank you. I wanted to introduce you today to the CEO of a company that has been highly awarded all across the industry for its innovation and its creativity and its attention to the needs of customers. I'm continually amazed and surprised and gratified by the many testimonials that are on CMS Products website. I want to welcome today Ken Burke. Ken, are you there?
Hi, Will.
Hey, tell us a little bit about all these wonderful testimonials you're getting. Right at the top, there's a fellow who sounds a little bit sounds familiar to me.
Well, over the years we've gotten lots of awards for unique solutions to people's problems, and that's kind of what we focus on. We are an area of technology that moves very quickly. I guess basically that's true for the high tech industry in general. But we've come up with some very, very unique solutions to our customers' problems. And recently, we've come up with some solutions that not only solve the problems for our direct customers, but really are solutions that everybody can use in their everyday life, which is very pleasing to me and all of us at CMS.
Well, you know, I'm referring to Pete Townsend. It's not often that a company can get a glowing testimonial from somebody like Pete Townsend. I mean, it says that he used your backup drive and that survived a flood, being trashed, rescued, and dried out. It worked the first time, still covered in the Thames River mud. That's powerful. So tell me about your products. What is it that CMS is doing right now?
We have evolved from basically a hardware company providing storage devices with a little bit of software content to more of a software company that provides hardware along with it for convenience. And we've specialized in what we call client-side PC backup, which means backup for either a laptop or a notebook or a netbook that an individual would use. And that's the core of our business. We're spreading out into some other areas with a very similar technology. But that's what our basis is. And most of our business historically has been to large corporate accounts like Fortune 500 accounts. And recently, because of the nature of this technology that we've been developing, it's moving down into smaller, mid-size, and individuals. And most of the people that are addressed at these large corporations are people that are outside the firewall or people that work out in the field, whether it's at their home or on an oil rig out in the ocean or walking around in a hospital and have to be working live on their computers.
So tell me a little bit about what your backup device does that's unique.
Well, we do backup, and there's lots of people that do backup, and we believe ours is very simple to use. We think there's a lot of other good products out there also. But what's unique about our product is, and again, this has been developed from requests from our customers pushing us to do this over the years. And as technology evolved, we were able to accomplish this. But what we do is after you've done a backup with our product, we allow you to now, in an emergency, run your computer from the backup device. And I can give you an example. You do our device most of the time is a hard drive in some kind of enclosure, a metal or a plastic enclosure. And it's external, and it connects through the USB port. You put our software in. You do a backup. Our backup backs up the operating system, all your applications, as well as all your data. And we have several ways that allow you to get back to that data. One is on the installation. After you've installed, most people cannot read their backup. It's in a language that's, to the common user, not readable. You don't know if you've done a good backup. And that's the first thing that everybody's concerned with. One is that my data is safe, whether it's pictures or contacts or my QuickBooks or whatever it might be, that it's safe. The second is that when I need it, I want to be able to get it back relatively painlessly. And the third thing is, how long does it take to get back? And that's where we really shine with our multiple ways of viewing that data once it's been backed up. The first thing you can do to see if you've done a good backup is you can just, by going into your normal boot up process, we put a little window on the startup screen that allows you to click on it. And if you click on it, the system will automatically boot up or start your computer up from this external hard drive. And if it starts up and it's running, obviously, you've done a good backup. And now you can see all your data. In fact, you could travel with this backup device. Say it's a 2.5-inch hard drive, a small drive. If you wanted to, you could travel across the country, plug it into somebody's computer, and you could access all your data that you had on your computer. It won't leave anything on their computer. It might be another company computer if you're just traveling from office to office. But you can access all your data and use it without carrying around your computer. The second way you can access your data is if you did have a failure, let's say a corruption, or let's say your hard drive just failed. You could simply just turn off your computer, turn it back on again with your backup device plugged into the USB port, and your computer would just magically come up and running just like nothing ever happened on this external hard drive. And you could run like that for a few minutes or forever. We don't recommend you run on that drive forever because now you're without a backup. But what it does allow you to do is to get up and running instantly and fix the problem when it's convenient. And for me personally, the only time I have a problem with my computer is when I'm using it. It never breaks when I'm not using it. And I don't have the patience to stop whatever I'm doing and maybe for hours or a day or a week or whatever it takes to get my computer system back up. I just don't have that patience. I want something done instantly. And so with this product, you can just turn it off and 3 to 5 minutes, however long it takes you to boot up, you just boot right back up and just keep going. And then at your convenience, you can work on the problem. And the third way, if you were in a place that you need to be really mobile and you have an emergency, you're down, you can actually take the hard drive out of our plastic box, this external box you get plugged in, take that drive out, put it in your computer, whether it's a desktop or a notebook, and just turn your computer back on, and it'll run just the way it always did, and at some convenient time, you can get a new hard drive, put it in the plastic box, plug it back in, and just run another backup, and then you're backed up again. But if you're in the hospital with a tablet computer or a laptop, and you're walking around the hallways, it's probably inconvenient for you to have an external hard drive hanging from your computer that you're running from. So we also allow the convenience of you to just take that drive out, put it in your computer, and run with it. And again, when it's convenient, you can take your computer to somebody who can fix it, or you can fix it yourself. But what we've done here is just addressed the problem of, what do I do? I'm down. And
that's pretty nifty. Nifty. Sounds like that's a solution to a problem that lots of people have. Tell me a little bit about over the past couple of years, you guys have gotten lots of awards. Tell me about those awards.
Well, we've gotten numerous awards, technology awards, from a variety of places, trade conferences that we attend, where they look at a series of products in similar categories, and they make awards for what they think is a technology or product of the year for them. We've done that both in industry conferences as well as trade shows, government trade shows. So we've just won numerous times for, I think, being a little bit different. And I think uniqueness is always interesting to somebody to see something that you haven't seen before. We've won, from technical writers and various magazines, both here and in Europe, won awards for, again, technology. So they're so numerous, I really don't know which to talk about. But in general, it's for doing something that you don't see every day that actually solves a problem that most people can relate to.
Well, it's wonderful to have a company that's got that many awards in Orange County. Tell me, over the past couple of years, the economy's been not the nicest. What kinds of things have you been doing differently to adjust, to adapt to this new economy?
Well, that's a challenge for all of us. I guess you've probably heard this before, but flexibility. Things change and our lives have changed dramatically. I mentioned earlier that we were focused on Fortune 500 type companies, large companies with lots of employees, and especially a lot of employees that work outside the main company facilities. With our solutions, we provide a lot of cost reductions in supporting these people that live outside. What we have found in solving problems for those kinds of business issues, we also solve problems in a little bit different manner for individuals and smaller companies. Larger companies have large support structures to help their employees. A lot of technology expertise. The smaller the company, or when you get to an individual, maybe it's somebody just personally, looking for a device for their family, they don't have the content. They don't have that IT support that you would in some of these other larger businesses. So we're solving basically the same problem for each. But for a large company, the driving factor is a cost reduction. An employee can help themselves. For the individual or a small business, I don't have technology. I need something that I can do and understand without help. How can I help myself? And our solution actually solves in different ways the same problem for both groups. And so what we're doing is evolving more into the arena of small business and personal backup. While it's very, very difficult when everybody's reducing costs at higher levels, Fortune 500 companies have just basically stopped money except on mission critical things. And we're a solution that if you spend money now will save you money in the long run. That's difficult these days. People would rather not spend any money, and especially to save money in the long term. So We're just adapting to today's economy.
It sounds to me like what you are providing for the small business or the individual entrepreneur who's a one-man show is you're allowing them to become more self-supporting, to become better able to provide for their own needs, especially when something like a hard drive goes.
Right. We're putting in some very, very sophisticated technology in the hands of relatively unsophisticated people. And that's a great opportunity. because now they can take advantage of what the big guy's doing, you know, without having the big support structure around them.
So now if somebody wanted to buy one of your drives that would do all these magic things for them, where would they go to a Best Buy, or would they go to where would they go?
Well, because of our evolution, we really didn't sell retail until just recently. You can find us at Micro Center, and there's one here locally in, geez, I don't know exactly where they're at, Tustin, I guess that's officially, just off the 55 at Edinger. A lot of e-tailers, Amazon.com, Buy.com, which is a local company, a lot of e-tailers, and from a business standpoint, there's a lot of resellers that we deal with, like companies called CDW, PC Mall, PC Connection, and there's dozens of them. But a lot of online retailers or e-tailers, and coming to our website, which is www.cms.com. I'm sorry, cmsproducts.com.
What would someone look for if they were going to Amazon? What would be the name of the product that they were looking for?
This one, latest version, is called Bounce Back Ultimate.
Bounce Back Ultimate.
Right.
What's the range of the cost? I know Amazon's probably going to discount it way down, but what's the range of the cost for someone?
Okay, we have two versions. One's called Essential, which is not a full-featured backup software kit. So it would do the basic backup and give you those recovery features that I've talked about. And then, and that lists for $39, so it's going to be somewhat less than that when you buy it online. And Bounce Back Ultimate is our full-featured backup, which has lots of features which you may or may not be interested in. It allows you to schedule. It allows you to encrypt if you're worried about security, and has lots of different programs in it along with those basic features that you would really like to have. And that lists for $79. And I think typically you'd probably see it in stores between $49 and, I guess, $69.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Now, so what I heard is that one of the things that helped you to make it through these last couple of years was your ability to be nimble and flexible. What else have you learned along the way in terms of business to be as successful as you are?
Wow, you really need to stand back. You need to stand back and look at things from a little bit of a distance and make sure that you don't have tunnel vision. I think, or at least for me, that's always a challenge, that you kind of get stuck in a way and it's hard to see different ways to do things and look at things differently from different perspectives. But if you can do that, lots of times you can see different things. And it might send you in different directions, or it might just refine the things that you already are doing or the things that you know you need to do. But I think, you know, having that flexibility and always thinking about, you know, you have a tendency of getting in a tunnel where you don't see everything. You know, it's kind of a challenge, at least for me. I get kind of stuck in the way I do things, and you really can't do that. The world's really dynamic, and you do need to take time to stand back. We all do. And make sure that, you know, you're communicating to your team, which is always a challenge for us because you almost can't communicate enough, and that you're listening. And sometimes it's hard to listen to.
Have you found any tools that were helpful to, you know, to help you move, stand back, and take a longer view at what you're doing?
You know, I have felt, for me personally, that exposing yourself to different things, getting in maybe some groups, they might be social groups, or they might be you know, sessions with people, with your peers, and you know, try to open up your mind and listen to the ideas that other people have or their trials and tribulations. You know, starts my inner juices percolating and trying to relate things that other people are doing, or you know, if it's you know, technology discussions, you know, to new ideas that you know, can start, you know, the juices and changing your life. So for me, it's a lot of interaction with other peoples and maybe diverse peoples, maybe people that aren't even doing things that are similar to what you're doing. A lot of life lessons learned by just listening to other people. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard for me, but I think it's always a good thing.
I've often heard that the life of a CEO is very lonely, not a lot of people that they can talk with. But what I'm hearing you say is that one of the paths towards success is breaking through that limitation and finding places, finding people, finding experiences where you can break out of that loneliness. And whether you're talking about your own internal company issues or not, you're being stimulated. You're being given some other opportunities to reflect on. I think what I'm hearing you say is that you want to encourage other CEOs to make that kind of effort to get into diverse places and to be open to hearing other people.
I think it's a great thing, but I also believe it's challenging for all of us to find the time, to make the time to do that. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I've got to make the time to do that because it's, you know, it's very easy to not only get that tunnel vision, but it is kind of lonely. You know, in the past when I work with people or for people, if I didn't like it, I could leave. I could do something else. It's a little bit different now. I can't just walk out. There's a lot of people depending on me as well as others, and so it's a little bit different. But at the same time, you need to be open, and sometimes it's hard to listen. So it's a challenging thing, but it can also be very rewarding.
Well, I'm really pleased to hear you talk about that responsibility that CEOs have for not only for their employees, but for their customers who they have developed relationships where they're strategic partners, where they are helping that customer do things that the customer couldn't do on their own. Even in the worst of times, the most difficult times, CEOs do have that responsibility. Is it burdensome or is it just difficult?
I think it can be all the above. Uh-huh. As well as very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously to everything in life, there's many different facets of each job or thing that you do. There's a lot of responsibilities. Yeah, some people don't realize it. Maybe I didn't realize it in the past, but I'm sure every person that's running an organization of some sort feels responsibility to the group that he's leading. And it can be very stressful at times as well as rewarding.
If there was one thing that you could say to fellow CEOs in Orange County, in this time that Lean seems to be picking up, but nevertheless has left a legacy of difficulty, one thing that you could say to them to encourage them, what would that be?
Wow. Boy, that changes from day to day for me, depending on how I'm feeling, but I think just, step back and, you know, look at all the positive things, and not get, wound up in the minutes of the day. you know, for me, you can lose, you know, that the old saying, you know, sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees. You need to step back a little bit. And especially in these days, you know, where there's lots of disappointments, a lot of challenges. You got to stand back and take a moment or two, or maybe a day or two, and you know, get the right perspective on things and clear your mind so you can see the whole picture. Because in great times, it's easy. You know, when everything's going right, it's really easy. When things are going bad, it's hard. It's very hard. And it's not just hard for the CEO. It's hard for all of us. And that's something we also have to remember, that we're really all not much different than somebody maybe at a much lower level. The challenges are the same. The picture might look a little different, but we all got challenges. And there's always tomorrow. You know, there's always going to be a tomorrow.
That's wonderful. I really do appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and to share with our listeners some of the experiences that you've had in taking this company into this whole different world as we move across into the new economy, and helping us to understand how you're focusing now on helping the individual entrepreneur. Ken, thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you again and listening to even more success.
All right. Thanks, Will.
Well, you've heard today from two different CEOs, one who has been in the trenches for a while and has seen technology change, morph, and move back and forth from Fortune 500 companies to individual entrepreneurs who need the technology. And that kind of steady, persistent, consistent maintenance of an organization is essential. At the same time, you've heard from a CEO who started off with a partner in the park in a very short period of time, built a company with 130 people, who's now looking, even in this difficult economy, to double revenues in the next 3 years. Those kind of strategic plans are essential to moving business forward. That's what this Pilgrim's finding out on the 405. I hope your business thrives in the next 3 years. I hope that in the next 90 days, you are encouraged to find those new opportunities that are out there, to take time to be with your employees, to help them be the best that they can possibly be, and to look forward to those places in your organization where success and thriving is essential. So that's it for this week with the Pilgrim on the 405. To all the business people in Orange County, keep looking to improve the quality of your business, to improve the quality of the service you're providing, not only to your employees, but also to your customers.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Crist, the Pilgrim on the 405, right here on octalkradio.net.